Brethren, is there a dark side to Christianity? Is there a dark side to Christianity? Let me just put your mind at ease, assure you the answer to that question is no. But when I began to research my topic today, I did an internet search and an article came up that claimed that my subject today is indeed a dark side to Christianity. Well, I suppose I shouldn't have been surprised or shocked because I already know some people feel that way. They do have strong feelings about it. Some have even left our fellowship sincerely believing that they had to avoid becoming corrupted by this. It would be something that would put them in or keep them in bondage. Well, I never dreamed they would think of it as being a dark side to the Christian religion. And whether you know it or not, every one of us here has been accused of having this dark side of Christianity. However, there is such a misunderstanding of this subject. It's actually taken people out of the church. These individuals do have very strong, very sincere convictions with regard to this subject. Some have come to sincerely believe they had to leave us because we have this dark side and they don't want any part of it. I'll just read a portion of the article to introduce today's subject. The author is a prophecy preacher, and I don't read his material. I just happened to see this because the article came up. Otherwise, I wouldn't read him at all. Just that one thing. He says, there is one side of Christianity that waters down the gospel and makes following Jesus some self-improvement program for the successful. It is attractive to Western pseudo-Christians looking for some purpose to a materialistic way of life. Meanwhile, thousands of real Christians are dying for their faith in Jesus Christ all over the world, while these success-motivated Christians listen to humanistic teachings and belly up to their church cappuccino bar. That's quite an opening statement. Well, then he goes on to say, this darker side of Christianity makes Christianity something to be achieved by following doctrines from men who never understood the plan of salvation in the first place. These men believe salvation comes by obedience to keeping commandments and by following certain rules or rituals of practice. For want of a better term, I will call this dark side of Christianity, legalism. Title for the message today is, What is a Legalistic Christian? Today, we'll examine legalism from the world's point of view and from the Bible's point of view. The lack of a scriptural correct understanding of legalism has destroyed some people's Christian lives. This is so important to understand because most of the Christian world has been deceived into a wrong understanding of just what legalism really is. So I'd like to take some time to define the term, then go back through some quotes about legalism and examine them carefully because people read these statements and they believe them. Well, first, I'll just finish this quote from the article. In the modern church, there are still many legalists who condemn people to hell who will not accept their demonically inspired doctrines. You'll see a lot of name-calling as we just finish this article here. In one way or another, they always put people back under the requirements of the law, and in the final analysis, they make salvation something that comes through one's own effort. Of course, they deny they do that, but their legalistic doctrine says otherwise. These dark clouds without water deny that you can be saved by faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus alone. They always add something more to salvation than trusting in Jesus Christ. We go back to early Christianity. Paul speaks expressly against those who want to keep everyone under the law. The law was given to show that we're imperfect and condemned to be separated from God unless God Himself did something to bridge that gap. That is why both Jews and Gentiles must come to God by the law of faith. And it gives the example of Abraham. The law of faith is believed that only God is righteous and merciful, and that only He can provide the way of salvation for mankind. This plan of salvation from God was actually carried out when God the Son, Jesus, paid the requirements of the law for all on the cross. Those who by faith believe God and accept the sacrifice He provided for mankind's sins will be saved. This is from the article, Christian Legalism, The Dark Side of Christianity, by Don Koenig. Well, he has more to say in no uncertain terms, but I think we get his point. Well, we'll come back, take a closer look at some of his statements. But first, I'd like to read to you some definitions of terms we're using here. Then we'll ask which, if any of these terms, do they apply to us? And if they do, was that a bad thing or a good thing? So here's some definitions from my American College Dictionary, 1964 edition. The word legal, authorized by law, pertaining to law, permitted by law. The second definition of legal, pertaining to the doctrine of salvation by good works rather than through free grace. And then of or pertaining to the Mosaic Law. Then legalism, strict adherence or the principle of strict adherence to law. And their second definition, the doctrine of salvation by good works. And the word legality, state or quality of being in conformity with the law, lawfulness, observance of law. Second definition, reliance on good works for salvation rather than on free grace. Well, I didn't know that my dictionary was so opinionated. Just so you didn't miss it, it refers to salvation by works three times. So, simply stated, legalism is a strict, literal, or excessive conformity to the law or to a religious or moral code. But today there's another implied meaning that has been attached to the word to make it mean any form of biblical law-keeping is legalism and therefore to be avoided. Any idea different from salvation by grace and faith alone is called legalism. And the word is used in a disparaging way, especially against Sabbath keeping, or some of the other laws in the Old Testament. While it is not wrong, and it certainly is not dark, to be careful to obey God's laws correctly, and carefully, and legally. It could be legalistic to misuse God's law in some way, maybe a way God never intended. Well, I'd like to pull out some quotes here from the various sources, and just give you an idea of what some other people think is legalism or legalistic. And of course some are quite strong in their opinion and they seem to take a either or approach to the subject. Legalism in Christian theology is a sometimes pejorative term. That's really a put down. It means to make something of less value or belittle it. Referring to an overemphasis on discipline of conduct or legal ideas, usually implying an allegation of misguided rigor, pride, superficiality, the neglect of mercy, and ignorance of the grace of God, or emphasizing the letter of law over the spirit. Legalism is alleged against any view that obedience to law, not faith in Christ and God's grace, is the preeminent principle of redemption. Its opposite is antinomianism, which is the view that believing in Jesus Christ is the only requirement for receiving eternal life. So what he's saying is either you do it all, or on the other hand, Christ did it all for you. It's one or the other. Here from gotquestions.org, here's a question. What does the Bible say about legalism? How can a Christian avoid falling into the trap of legalism? The answer. The word legalism does not occur in the Bible. It is a term Christians use to describe a doctrinal position emphasizing a system of rules and regulations for achieving both salvation and spiritual growth. Legalists believe in and demand a strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations. Doctrinally, it is a position essentially opposed to grace. Those who hold a legalistic position often fail to see the real purpose for law, especially the purpose of the Old Testament law of Moses, which is to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. A little bit more here. And I'm going through this because people read these things and they believe them. So we will want to cover this. It says even true believers can be legalistic. We're instructed, rather, to be gracious to one another, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. Sadly, there are those who feel so strongly about non-essential doctrines that they'll run others out of their fellowship, not even allowing the expression of another viewpoint. That, too, is legalism. Many legalistic believers today make the error of demanding unqualified adherence to their own biblical interpretations and even to their own traditions. For example, there are those who feel that to be spiritual, one must simply avoid tobacco, alcoholic beverages, dancing, movies, etc. And the truth is that avoiding these things is no guarantee of spirituality. Just a little bit more. The Apostle Paul warns us of legalism in Colossians. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And of course, this quote is used to imply that rules are the problem. It implies that to submit to rules is a bad thing. And they don't bother to find out what is Paul really talking about. We'll come back to some of these. Here's another quote. Legalists may appear to be righteous and spiritual, but legalism ultimately fails to accomplish God's purposes because it is an outward performance instead of an inward change. All right, I have to ask, how do they know? How do they know if someone made an inward change or not? If their fruits are good, then the tree is good. Now, it's true. Someone can put on a show, but it can also be true that their outward performance is genuine, that their heart is pure. They can be obeying God from their heart, and their outward appearance is the good fruit of that inward change. So we want to go back, take a closer look at these earlier quotes, and then see if they're valid, and in some cases we could even ask, are they even honest? From this gotquestions.org I just read. What does the Bible say about legalism, and how can a Christian avoid falling into the trap of legalism? Well, already it sets your mind, the trap, implying something's wrong already. But the answer is the word legalism does not occur in the Bible. Well, that is true. It is a term Christians use to describe a doctrinal position emphasizing a system of rules and regulations for achieving both salvation and spiritual growth. They demand a strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations. Amen to that. We believe in a strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations when it comes to stopping for a red light. What is so wrong with that? We believe in strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations when it comes to not robbing banks and to not shooting people. We believe in strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations when it comes to obeying our parents. They want the best for us. They set rules for our good, not for our hurt. What is so wrong about obeying rules and regulations? Chess has rules and regulations. Games have rules. Countries have rules. Who doesn't want to be a law-abiding citizen? So it says legalists believe in and demand a strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations. Well, I think we would agree with that statement. But we would agree that it is a good thing. I can just mention here, actually, you could turn to Ephesians 1, and while you do that, I'll just mention, God required strict, literal adherence to rules and regulations of physical Israel. You remember when Aaron's two sons offered the strange fire before God, and God killed them because they were not strictly following the rules. And when Uzzah put his hand out to steady the ark so it wouldn't fall, God killed him because he didn't strictly follow the rules. It was to be carried on the poles. It wasn't to be touched. Well, today we can repent when we make mistakes, but the rules are not removed. We still have to obey the rules. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He didn't say this is legalistic. He didn't say obey them to try to get something or earn something. He said it was right. It was the correct thing to do. Verse 2, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Children know, just because their mother and father loves them, it doesn't give them permission to disobey or misbehave. It's not one of the difficult scriptures people use, but I think it clearly shows Paul's approach to commandment keeping. It's right to obey your parents. We could just say you're giving your kids a trip to the zoo, as a gift, all right? So, they didn't earn it, but does that give them a right to misbehave on the way? So, well, we get to go, whether we behave or don't obey, because it's a gift. Well, I don't know how logical that would make sense. It's right to obey your parents. Jesus said in John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Well, Jesus kept the commandments. And I don't think it would be very smart to accuse him of being legalistic in the way that we're accused. Well, some will say yes, but that was because he had to fulfill the law for us. Well, then what about the verse that says we're to walk as he walked and live as he lived? The arguments really do fall apart. The Bible states in over 30 places that we're to keep the commandments, keep his commandments or the commandments, some form like that. Just notice two more of them. Matthew 19 and verse 17. Matthew 19 and verse 17, Christ said to this young man, he said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And 1 John 5, starting in verse 2. 1 John 5:2. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." There is a rule of logic that says, whatever is, is. Whatever is, is. That is reality. You have to deal with whatever is. All right? God's commandments is. Can I say it like that? That's the way things are. The commandments are reality. Is it logical for God to say, do not steal, and then allow you to steal because He loves you? Is it logical to say you are allowed to steal because if you don't steal, then you're trying to be legalistic? You're trying to earn salvation by not stealing. That's foolish. It's not logical. And you can put in any commandment there. But that is what you have if you believe keeping the commandments is being legalistic in a bad way. If you believe people are trying to earn salvation by works because they believe they are required to obey God, that's what you end up with. That's what some call the dark side of Christianity. But Paul was saying it is a good thing to obey your parents. Don't you honestly think that Paul would say obeying your heavenly Father is a good thing? Of course he would say that. One of the arguments about commandment keepers being legalistic involves that word required. Some people say they are free in Christ. They're not required to obey the commandments to receive salvation. They're under grace, and that's it. Anything else is earning salvation by works, which in their eyes is the dark side of Christianity. Now, I don't question their sincerity, their motive, their honesty, their faithfulness to God is between them and God. But I do question their understanding and their application of the Scriptures because Jesus Christ kept the commandments. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He said, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. In 1 John 2:4, you know what, I'm still there in John. 1 John 2 and verse 4. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whatever is, is. God's law is. It is eternal. It is holy. It is just. It is good. To call someone legalistic because they believe they're required to obey the great Creator, life-giving God, is not logical. Not to call them that in a negative way. Just like it is not logical to go 70 miles an hour through a red light at a busy intersection, but it is logical to obey the law, to stop, to stay legal. See, we understand that plain as day. Why should it be so hard to understand we're required to obey God Almighty even if He does give us salvation as a free gift? I hope to show by the end of the sermon today, being called a legalist when it comes to obeying God is a compliment. We'll go back now to the quote from GotQuestions.org. Legalists believe in and demand a strict literal adherence to rules and regulations. Doctrinally, it is a position essentially opposed to grace. Why is that? Doesn't have to be that way. We're not opposed to grace, and we're Christians. Those who hold a legalistic position often fail to see the real purpose of the law, especially the purpose of the Old Testament law of Moses, which is to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He says they often fail. Well, does that mean that sometimes they do not fail to see the real purpose of the law? See, they're playing with words here. This is one of the two main reasons some people call commandment keepers legalists. Part of the confusion here is this lack of understanding. There's a difference between the sacrificial laws, which were added, and the spiritual law of God, which means the Ten Commandments. The sacrificial laws were a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. They were added to the law. We can read that in Galatians 3. People turn to Galatians, so we'll turn to Galatians. Galatians 3 and verse 19. Wherefore then serves the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. All right. The Ten Commandments were in force before there was even a nation of Israel or a nation of Judah or a Jewish person. God said He blessed Abraham because Abraham obeyed My voice, kept My charge, My commandments, My statutes, and My laws. And that event took place centuries before the covenant at Mount Sinai, centuries before Moses and before Judah, before there was such a person as a Jew. So the Bible shows the Ten Commandments did not originate with Moses or in his time. And they were not in any way limited to the Jews. They're in effect and known before Moses or... All right, going on with this quote. Even true believers can be legalistic. We're instructed rather to be gracious to one another. And then they quote Romans 14, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Sadly, there are those who feel so strongly about non-essential doctrines, they'll run others out of their fellowship, not even allowing the expression of another viewpoint that too is legalism. Well, Paul was not talking about doctrines or different viewpoints. Now, if someone were to, say, preach or push a different viewpoint to cause division, well, that'd be a problem. We're to be like-minded. It's not that we can't have a different viewpoint, but we certainly wouldn't cause division with it. But Paul was talking about people weak in the faith, that they need time to learn. Here it goes on. Many legalistic believers today make the error of demanding unqualified adherence to their own biblical interpretations and even to their own traditions. For example, there are those who feel that to be spiritual, one must simply avoid tobacco, alcoholic beverages, dancing, and movies, and so on. The truth is that avoiding these things is no guarantee of spirituality. Well, I think the result of that statement is very dishonest. Now, the writer, he may sincerely believe this and not have intended to deceive anyone, but it is flawed reasoning. It mixes two statements to get a false answer. So let's look at that. Many legalistic believers today make the error of demanding unqualified adherence to their own biblical interpretations and even to their own traditions. That statement by itself is not a bad thing if the biblical interpretations and their traditions are incorrect and not according to God's Word. But if they are correct and they are according to God's Word, well, then we should expect and even demand unqualified adherence to God's Word. So now it's the next statement that throws a curve into the mix. For example, there are those who feel that to be spiritual, one must simply avoid the tobacco, the drinking, dancing, movies. All right. The truth is that avoiding these things is no guarantee of spirituality. Well, some people might feel spiritual if they don't drink or dance or do those things. So that could be a true statement. And the truth is that avoiding these things is no guarantee of spirituality. Well, that's also a true statement. But using this example that everyone should understand that these things are no guarantee of spirituality is really a bait and switch tactic. The problem here is you're mixing two thoughts to make it show the first statement is a bad thing because the second statement is a bad thing. The idea it's wrong to adhere to biblical interpretations and traditions because it's wrong to think we can be spiritual if we avoid the tobacco and the movies. You see how they did that? It is not wrong. It is not bad to adhere to biblical interpretations and traditions when they are correct according to God's Word. Take a closer look at one of the first quotes I read, legalism, from Christian theology. It is sometimes a pejorative term. In other words, a put-down. It refers to an overemphasis on discipline of conduct, legal ideas, usually implying an allegation of misguided rigor, pride, superficiality, the neglect of mercy, ignorance of the grace of God, or emphasizing the letter of law over the spirit. Well, hopefully, we don't do that. So we are not that kind of legalist. We don't neglect mercy. No, we think discipline is a good thing. Ignorance of the grace of God. I don't believe we're ignorant of the grace of God. And I don't believe we emphasize the letter of the law over the spirit. So basically that quote was just a false accusation. Legalism is alleged against any view that obedience to law, not faith in God's grace, is the preeminent principle of redemption. The opposite is antinomianism, the view that believing in Christ is the only requirement for receiving eternal life. Well, again, we see the confusion here that it's the idea being it is either law or grace and not law and grace working together. I'll go back to that Dark Side of Christianity article and make a few comments, and then we'll go on to the second reason commandment keepers are called legalists. This darker side of Christianity makes Christianity something to be achieved by following doctrines from men who never understood the plan of salvation in the first place. Well, let me stop right here. True Christianity does not follow doctrines from men who never understood the plan of salvation in the first place. So, true Christianity does not have that dark side. He goes on, these men believe salvation comes by obedience to keeping commandments and by following certain rules or rituals of practice. In one way or another, they always put people back under the requirements of the law, and in the final analysis, they make salvation something that comes through one's own effort. Of course, they deny they do that, but their legalistic doctrine says otherwise. Well, we do indeed deny that we do that. We do not believe in salvation by works, that we earn our salvation, that's a reward of our works. We don't believe that. So here again, Christianity, true Christianity, does not have that dark side. He says they always add something more to salvation than trusting in Jesus Christ. Well, the truth is, there is more to salvation than just or only trusting in Christ. If we go back to early Christianity, he says Paul speaks expressly against those who want to keep everyone under the law. The law was given to show. Now he tells us what the law is for. To show that we're imperfect and condemned to be separated from God unless God himself did something to bridge that gap. We would disagree with that conclusion. Let's read a couple statements from Bible in Romans, some Paul wrote here to explain. Romans 7, verse 7, the last part. It says, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet. So the law tells us what sin is. And Romans 5, and verse 13. Romans 5, 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Again, showing the law reveals what is sin. And one more, Romans 3, verse 20, Romans 3, 20. Again, the last part of the verse. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is the purpose of the law, to tell us what sin is. The quote goes on. That is why both Jews and Gentiles must come to God by the law of faith. And that law is that only God is righteous and merciful, and only He can provide the way of salvation for mankind. This plan of salvation from God was actually carried out when God the Son, Jesus, paid the requirements of the law for all on the cross. These who by faith believe God and accept the sacrifice He provided for mankind's sins will be saved. So he is saying, Jesus paid the requirements of the law, and if we accept that sacrifice, we will be saved without keeping the law. Now remember, he said, these men believe salvation comes by obedience to keeping commandments and by following certain rules or rituals of practice. In one way or another, they always put people back under the requirements of the law, and in the final analysis, they make salvation something that comes through one's own effort. What is he really saying here? What is he saying? He's saying that he, that we, that you, that me, that no one has to obey God. That is what he is saying. So now we come to the second reason why people call commandment keepers legalists. They simply are not willing to obey God. Now, I am not imputing motives. They'll tell you right to your face that law-keeping is not required for salvation. They claim to love God, so then why not keep God's holy and just and good commandments and laws, even if it isn't required? They don't want to. They don't love God's law. They may agree it would be good if we don't rob banks and don't shoot the guards. They may agree that we shouldn't lie, worship idols, or covet. I have actually been told these are godly principles. That's why we don't do that. But they most certainly would not agree that we should remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. They will not agree that keeping the Sabbath is a godly principle. I had that conversation. I said, well, then I can go rob a bank. I could shoot a guard. Well, no, it's a godly principle. I said, well, then I've got to keep the Sabbath. It's a godly principle. Oh, no, it's done away. See, circular reasoning. Not wanting to keep the Sabbath is probably the main reason people claim salvation is through grace alone. They do not want to keep the Sabbath. Now, I realize some sincerely think the law is done away, it's Old Testament, and some may know better and still want to commit adultery, steal, eat pork, smoke cigars, whatever it is. But in every case, these people will insist they're saved by grace and not by works. And what they really mean is they don't have to obey God's laws so that they can receive salvation. And if they don't have to, then they are not going to. If we quote a scripture to them that shows we're to obey a commandment or the commandments, well, then we're legalists. And remember that legalists can be used as a pejorative term, so it's a put-down. But it can also be used in a positive way to mean a law-abiding person. But we would be legalistic in a bad way in their sight, their opinion. And then that same person would have a scripture or two of their own that they would quote. Well, this is so serious because some have actually left us sincerely believing they understand these verses to mean they are wrong if they even try to keep the commandments. They sincerely believe they would be trying to earn their salvation if they don't trust completely in God's grace. They don't believe commandment keeping is required. And I'm not saying it's required in the sense we earn our salvation, but that's the message that they get. But the very idea, commandment keeping, is seen as the dark side of Christianity. It's seen as bondage, and it even is seen as being self-righteous. But the Apostle Paul didn't see it that way. Romans 3, verse 31. Romans 3, 31. It says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Well, that's clear. But I'd like to read that verse from some different versions, and it will get a fuller sense of what Paul was writing. So this is from the Bible in 26 translations. His first statement, do we make void the law through faith? Do we then make the law of none effect through faith? Authorized version. Is this using faith to overthrow the law? From Goodspeed. Why then do we nullify the law through faith? Another translation. And Another one, does that mean that we are using faith to rob the law of its force? So Paul here, he's being very clear so you don't misunderstand, that he's not doing away with the law. He said, heaven forbid. Another one, not for one moment, or far from it, or on the contrary. And then the final part, yes, we establish the law. Moffat says we uphold the law. Goodspeed says this confirms the law. These different translations trying to help show that Paul is not doing away with the law. Here's Knox. We are setting the law on its right footing. And Phillips says we put the law in its proper place. So the point is the law of God remains the righteous standard by which all mankind will be judged. Let's read that in James. James chapter 2. Start reading in verse 8. James 2 verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. You're convicted of the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. You commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you become a transgressor of the law. In verse 12, so speak you and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So what does the Bible say about legalism? I'd like to read a few quotes from our booklet, The New Covenant, Does It Abolish God's Law? This booklet actually explains so many of the scriptures that are misused to justify not keeping God's laws. And I hope you've read it or you will read it. But page 155, there's a little article, Liberty Through God's Law. To substitute humanly devised laws for God's laws, as the Pharisees did, is legalism. To rely upon the keeping of any law to make one righteous in God's eyes instead of faith is legalism. If all one focuses on is obedience to law apart from the motivation of pleasing God, loving neighbor, this distorts the purpose of the law and is legalism. If we believe that the keeping of God's law can earn our salvation as our reward, we are guilty of legalism. Technical obedience or strict obedience to the exact letter of the law while searching for ways to get around the underlying purpose and intent of the law is legalism. Proper obedience is not legalism. Jesus Christ's teachings, the remainder of the Bible, make one thing perfectly clear. Proper obedience to the law of God is not legalism. After conversion, a Christian is given a much fuller understanding of the purpose and intent of God's law. He understands the importance of having faith in the person and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's given a more complete understanding of why he is to be obedient, but it remains for him to obey. That is not legalism. To obey God's biblical commands in a proper attitude, such as his command to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is not legalism. And don't let anyone tell you different. Those who would do away with keeping the commandments, they so often quote the Apostle Paul. Then they go against other verses that Paul did not teach that idea. Peter said Paul could be hard to be understood, and people could twist his writings. 2 Peter 3:16 says that. Let's read it here. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Really had to pay attention to what Paul was really saying. which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So let's just notice a few of Paul's comments. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and verse 14. Paul said this, "But this I confess to you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." There is not a word here about the law being done away. Acts 26, verse 21. Paul said this, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Not a word about salvation by grace alone. Paul did not preach any violation of Moses' law. Acts 28, verse 17. After 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem to the hands of the Romans." Again, he didn't say, you could stop keeping the commandments, you're saved by grace. He committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers. So Paul did not practice any violation of God's laws. He didn't preach against Moses. He didn't preach against God. We've seen people think legalism is anything other than salvation by grace alone. The idea is Christ died for us. He fulfilled the law for us. We don't have to worry about sin anymore. We're free from that law, that bondage. We're liberated. We can do pretty much whatever we want. And there are many verses in the Bible that seem to justify that idea if taken by themselves. But we are to live by every word of God. All of the verses have to fit together. They can't contradict one another. We're familiar with Romans 8:7. It says the carnal mind is against God. So that makes it easy for Satan to convince people they'll be saved without obeying God. That's because that human nature, that carnal man, doesn't want to be subject to God in the first place. You know, we don't forget, Jesus said the world hated him and will hate us. Well, why is that? Did you ever wonder why people would hate Jesus? Well, that Romans 8:7 is part of the answer, that carnal nature that's not subject to God. But another reason is this. They both can't be right. Jesus kept the commandments. They did not keep the commandments. Someone has to be wrong. In order for them to be right, they had to say or try to prove that Jesus was wrong and that we're wrong. If they don't, then the only other choice is for them to admit that they're wrong, that they're the ones that look bad. Well, instead, they call us legalistic. They try to make us look like we're the ones in the wrong. And what makes all of this so spiritually dangerous, people are taught this idea and they sincerely believe it. Then when they hear the truth, they already have a meaning in their mind, and then they're not able to accept the truth. I'll give you a personal example. I was raised a Catholic, and that church teaches the bread and wine is literally the body and blood of Christ. Well, someone who sincerely believes that in the same church, they told me, "The Bible says this is my body." That's how they understand that verse, that is literal. That's what they were taught. Now, we can't convince someone who's been taught that those items are symbolic of Christ's body and blood unless God opens their mind. See, I used to believe that when I was in that church. Well, God did open my mind to see what that verse was really saying. So why is that different if someone says, well, now God has opened my mind to see that it's salvation by grace without law keeping. What's the difference? Some have left us because they do believe the commandments are done away. They believe God did show them something new. They believe the commandments are Old Testament and not for us. Anyone keeping them today is being legalistic. So what is the difference? Did God open my mind to new understanding? And did God open their mind to new understanding? How do we know the difference? Who's right? Well, the difference is the result. It's the fruit. Does this new truth cause you to produce bad fruit? The works of the flesh, lawlessness, disobedience. Does it cause you to counteract Jesus' plain statement, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments? That statement does not do away with salvation being a free gift. Doesn't take it away. So we need to ask, who doesn't get the free gift? Who doesn't get salvation? If it doesn't matter, if we don't keep the commandments, then everyone should receive it. So who doesn't? Those who go into the lake of fire. It doesn't say legalists. Who does it say? Sinners. Who are sinners? Lawless persons. Sin is a transgression of the law. Right? What law? God's Ten Commandments. The point of the whole sermon today is this. There is not a single verse in the entire Bible that cancels what Jesus Christ plainly said. If you would enter into life, keep the commandments. This idea of calling someone legalistic if they obey God is a tool of Satan. It's no different than when Balaam taught Israel to sin so that God would punish them or curse them instead of blessing them. It's the same trick. Different actors, same deadly result. It's a trick to get people to disobey God. I would say especially as far as the Sabbath. Because they can say, well, I won't kill somebody, I won't steal and all this. Well, keep the Sabbath then. Well, no. But no matter what, whatever commandment they don't keep, it's a trick to get people to disobey God. All right, I have a final scripture in Acts 8. Acts 8. Start in verse 14. Acts 8, 14. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be on your own heads, I'm clean. From here, I'll go to the Gentiles. What did Paul mean when he said, people oppose themselves? It means they know something is true. They don't want to do it. They don't want to obey it. They know better. They don't want to do it. So they oppose themselves. They oppose themselves by using human reasoning and justifying themselves. Anyone who claims you do not have to keep the commandments because you're saved by grace is opposing themselves. Grace is not a license to sin. We read that in the book of Jude. Jude said, ungodly men turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And Vine's dictionary defines that as shameless conduct or excess or absence of restraint. Sounds like lawlessness to me. And James said, ungodly men do this. They're justifying themselves even though they should know better, even if they don't. They use the label legalist to protect their own false way. Some may be sincerely deceived, and some may be very aware of what they're doing. Either way, they are opposed to God's law. For us, the idea of obeying the law, of behaving in a legal manner towards God's law or towards man's law, that is a good thing. There is no dark side to true Christianity. It is an honor and a privilege to be a law-abiding Christian.